QuantSpeak, expert insights from quants for quants.
Welcome to QuantSpeak, a new podcast from the CQF Institute at Fitch Learning.
Hi, I'm Dan Tadball, editor of Wilmot Magazine, and this is QuantSpeak. I'm joined today by Matthias Arnsdorf, managing director and global head of counterparty credit risk quantitative research team at JP Morgan. Matthias has just recently delivered a industry talk on capital valuation adjustments. And we're going to be getting into KVA today. Valuation adjustments are not something that I've ever really been able to wrap my head around. So I'm hoping Matthias is going to demystify the whole thing for me today. Hi, Matthias.
Hello. Thank you very much for the invite.
Not at all. It's a pleasure having you on. How was the summer for you? We'll start with an easy question.
unfortunately, probably over now, even though we're still getting some good weather. But yeah, it was great to have a break.
And back to the grind. Can you describe briefly for the listeners your day-to-day role at JP Morgan?
So I work in counterparty risk. As you already mentioned, I head the quantitative research group here at JP Morgan. I've been doing this for quite a number of years now. I think about 10 years in this role, 20 years roughly in total at JP Morgan. So I look after the engine that calculates counterparty risk exposures. So for those of you who are not familiar with the concept, so when you engage in derivatives transactions, which we do as a bank clearly, you always run the risk that the person you're dealing with, your counterparty, so to speak, doesn't fulfill their obligations under the contract. So they default, essentially. That's counterparty risk. So we're very familiar with that from when you make a loan. But you also have that risk on derivatives transactions. And the difference here is that it's much harder to calculate. That's why you need big infrastructure and ultimately a quant team to calculate that risk. It's an interesting subject because it straddles many areas. There's a trading aspect. So the counterparty risk is actively managed, just like you would manage any other market risk of your derivatives transactions as a trading desk. And we support that desk with models, analytics, just like you would in sort of more traditional asset class aligned quant groups. But we also deal with the risk side. So there's any firm has a big credit risk department that looks after this type of risk. And we provide the model so that they can appropriately calculate and monitor the risk. And there's also, as most people are probably aware, a very strong capital regulatory angle to counterparty risk. So very much in focus. Ever since the sort of the crisis 2008, especially lots of regulation around how you need to capitalize for counterparty risk specifically. So we look at in my team, we look at all those areas, and so a broad range of activities, which obviously keeps it very interesting.
Thanks, Matthias. One silly question to start with: we've got CVAs and we've got KVAs. And, so KVA is obviously the regulatory related thing, but yet we refer to them both as credit valuation adjustments. So could you untangle that one a bit for me?
Yeah, certainly. So valuation adjustments are sort of the overall name that we give to, as the name suggests, adjustments that we have to the valuation. So valuation, we think of what's calculated on the desk in terms of your pricing. And then, you know, if you haven't captured all the risks that you need to, then you might add something on. Those are valuation adjustments. And those are typically calculated centrally. And they come in various flavors. And now we talk about XVAs. X is added, no doubt, to make the whole thing sound a lot more exciting. But there has been a proliferation of these things. But so it really came up sort of in the crisis, although they existed before that, certainly, but they certainly much more came into general consciousness that these things are important after the crisis, and that really started with the CVA that you mentioned. So that's the credit valuation adjustment. So that's specifically what's the risk of default of my counterparty, how much is that worth, how much do I need to charge back to the client so that I can hedge that risk and treat it just like any other market risk. So CVA is really the prototypical valuation adjustment that all the other ones that came after are modeled on. So, and again, the important point about CVA is they're calculated centrally because you have to do it at counterparty level. So every individual desk, an equity desk, a rates desk, will have trades with the same counterparty, but each individual desk can't do the counterparty level valuation on their own because they don't know what all the other desks are doing. That's why you need to do this at a central level. That really gives the valuation adjustments their unique flavor. So after CVA, we should mention the funding valuation adjustment that probably came next and was, in a sense, much more controversial. Lots of discussions in the industry and academia and around that. And then now, the capital valuation adjustment, so KVA, K not C because we ran out of letters. I like to think it's because it's a German spelling. I'm originally from Germany.
Yes, that's what I was thinking as well.
Exactly. So Kapital. Right? And so that's there to compensate for any capital related costs that we may have. So the shareholders, this is the idea, the general idea, shareholders demand a return on the capital they invest in a company. That's obviously very important. How that's managed for a firm, shareholder value is obviously a key thing that the firm looks after. And the KVA is there to ensure that you have enough value in your transaction to make sure that you can compensate your shareholders appropriately. That's sort of the high level idea. So quite distinct from the counterparty adjustment, that's there to compensate for the credit risk adjustment, that's there to compensate for credit risk. Capital adjustment is there to compensate for shareholder returns, in a sense.
I kind of see valuation adjustments as sort of the Wild West after it was tamed. And you might appreciate this, Matthias, having come into finance at the beginning of the millennium, which was still very much a free-for-all. I mean, CVAs came in as a reaction to the fact that Black-Scholes didn't really cover for the Black-Scholes methodology that was being used in terms of derivatives wasn't really taking into account the risk of the counterparty. But what I was saying was, initially, I saw valuation adjustments as sort of like, the maths teacher comes along and just throws you a completely unnecessary maths problem just to spoil your day. And that's how I felt probably around the original period of time, post financial crisis, what was happening with Basel III and all of that. But now the way that I see things is that valuation adjustments are a very interesting area in that it kind of, as you kind of alluded to, with the fact that you are dealing with so many different parts of the banking machinery, the valuation adjustment area kind of tames that wild west that we had pre-financial crisis and attempts to provide some kind of safety net and some kind of methodology that will scare people less. So just the thought of, say, taking a derivatives contract on your book all the way through to term, as it were, kind of gives me images of wrangling bulls. Would that be a fair kind of a fair kind of assessment?
I would see it as you suggest, right? It's sort of, if we think about, I mean, derivatives, obviously we've had for a while, but I mean, derivatives pricing is still evolving, right? And over time, I mean, the environment changes, so that's important, right? The market environment changes, that throws up new things that you need to think about in your pricing. To some extent, it's also iterative, right? Because there are new techniques, people are more more detailed in the modeling that they do. They incorporate more subtle effects, and those things become market standards. And this is sort of a reinforcing loop in terms of what the standards that you apply to your modeling. So as you say, right, and maybe we started off modeling options with basic black scholes, which obviously has very, you know, in theory at least, comes with a strict list of assumptions that need to be, that need to hold, but clearly in practice they don't. Then over time we incorporate more and more effects. Maybe, you know, we incorporate skew, we incorporate vol smiles and things like that. Valuation adjustments, a bit of a different direction, right? But here we're, you know, the realization that there's other costs involved in running your derivatives portfolio, which, as you alluded to, it's and you know, this is one of the areas that sort of that intrigued me about the whole subject area. You really do have to think very carefully about what does valuation actually mean? What are you trying to capture? And in particular, it's not as straightforward as you might think. As a quant or coming into the area, and certainly that's the case for me, I mean, you don't question these things too much. You learn about valuation, I apply expectations, risk control pricing, and there you go. You get a number, that's my price. But sort of the concept of value is actually quite subtle, right? And it's not that easy to pin down. And, you know, thinking about valuation adjustments really forces you to think more carefully about that. And the different valuation adjustments, they have different flavors, different ways to think about them in the context of valuation. So, for example, the credit valuation adjustment, there you're just missing some risk that you didn't capture before, right? You just didn't think about it, or maybe it wasn't important because counterparties were generally thought of as riskless. And funding valuation adjustment is more subtle. This is about, you know, funding costs that you incur over the life of a trade. If you engage in a derivatives transaction that's not collateralized and you have very subtle effects going on between shareholders and creditors. And then again, the KVA, even more complicated here, you're really thinking about what does it mean? What does engaging in derivatives transactions mean for a shareholder? Where does the return come from? How does the shareholder, he or she, how do they ensure that they get compensated for the risk, and how is that appropriately priced in? So on the face of it, you know, these are all things we tack onto the price, and we can say, okay, it's sort of generic valuation adjustment, but each of these is quite subtle in how to calculate those and what they mean fundamentally.
As a quant in your career of 20 years, over the last 20 years, these iterative changes, these fine tunings, did you feel professionally that it ought to be that way? It was something that you have been comfortable with and expect as you go along. And has that augmented your view, whatever that motivation was, in coming into finance in the first place?
I think certainly the whole area has become more complex, but I think that's probably also a function of the competitive nature of the business. You have different firms and entities competing in a very crowded market that forces everyone to up their game. And you really have to, you know, where at the beginning you could afford to have bigger margins of uncertainty in the valuations. Over time, that's less and less the case because everybody's getting better at, you know, valuing these things, valuing things accurately, incorporating all the different effects that could possibly matter. So in that sense, so it's a ratcheting up. It's sort of an increasing focus on detail and complexity, incorporating that into your, incorporating more and more of that into your valuation to remain ahead of the game and remain competitive on the one hand, but also ensuring that, you know, that you that the firm itself has the right risk management, has the right controls in place, right? I mean, we've seen through various crises that clearly it's very important to have a good assessment of the of the risk that's inherited, naturally inherited in your derivatives portfolio. So getting better and better and identifying the risk, making sure you're incorporating all the different things that could potentially go wrong is also clearly very important from a firm's point of view. So I think these things go hand in hand. And yeah, certainly over the time I've been in the business the past 20 years, because that also went through the crisis, you clearly see how that's evolved. And it is a bit reactive. So with every crisis, you tend to jump on whatever was the last issue and you sort of really focus on fixing that. But nevertheless, I think it is sort of a gradual progress in terms of how much detail we are able to incorporate in our pricing. And that also goes hand in hand with technological advances, right? So large scale CVA engines are very expensive and very compute heavy, right? So maybe 30 years ago, what we do today wouldn't have been possible, right? So as technology advances, what's possible also moves forward. That kind of drives the advances to some extent as well, the level of which, you know, the detail is modeled in any particular transaction.
Absolutely. Certainly post-financial crisis, the technological momentum that we experienced, particularly with the advent of the sort of ubiquity of a big data view across all industries, the advent of machine learning, cheaper compute power through things like GPUs and stuff like that as well. And now we have AI, obviously. But we also find ourselves now at a point where we're in an economic cycle which hasn't really been seen since prior to the financial crisis, you know, inflationary period and all of that sort of thing. Does that confluence of technology, competition, and the economic realities of the day now present a new set of challenges for valuation adjustments as you see it going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would take these separately. I think specifically for valuation adjustment, the new sort of market environment, high rates environment particularly is clearly impactful, and in particular on the funding side and managing a balance sheet, and that clearly is a new regime, and that's going to put additional focus on valuation adjustments. And yeah, and I think just also from a quant perspective, as you say, right, I think most people, certainly people who've come to the area recently, you know, wouldn't have been familiar with other environments other than a very low rate environment. So this is for most people, this is new and uncharted, and will certainly impact the way we do valuation adjustments, but more generally, right, across derivatives pricing and the business. The ML, the machine learning, also I think is going to be huge. I think there's no doubt there's massive investment in that. Clearly, not just in banking, but for banking, finance. Also, there's a huge investment, a big race to try to adapt the technology, make it work, find the best ways to get the most out of the technology. I think there's still work to do there to really ultimately find out where it's going to be most applicable. But there's no doubt that over at least over a 5-year horizon, that is going to be transformative. I always have a risk hat on, right? So I think that's also very important with these new technologies. How do you manage them? What's the right governance? What's the right controls, especially from a model point of view? That's going to be interesting how that develops. And I'd say lastly, from a quant point of view, right, it's an exciting time. The quant profession is very much in demand. At the end of the day, it's just about having the most talented people with a very analytic mindset. And, you know, the sort of things we looked at have changed massively over the 20 years that I've been involved. And it's going more and more into the analytics direction at the moment, which I think is clearly very, very fascinating, interesting, just from a, you know, From an academic point of view, it's a fascinating topic, and you're very much at the cutting edge of these developments.
Yeah, certainly. In your position, you've got to deal with people all across the enterprise, really, haven't you? I mean, you're really sort of at the beating heart of the whole thing, really. Sometimes it can be a challenge, actually, dealing with people from different departments and stuff like that. Have you got any sort of advice that might be useful in terms of just the professional day to day and making sure that you're actually able to work effectively with people, colleagues who are not necessarily coming from the same perspective as you?
I think in the quant profession, being able to communicate with people is key, right? And is also key distinguisher. People come to this line of work because they're very analytical, right? They're very good at math, they're very good at science, they're very good at computing. People don't typically, get selected on their communication ability. However, that is key to your progress, right, throughout your career. I think, and also is what makes this field interesting, right? You're able to apply sort of your analytical skills to very, very technical problems. So you're able to do very high-level complex maths on a day-to-day basis, which is unusual, right, in the job. But at the same time, you're constantly dealing with a huge organization with lots of different people, lots of different stakeholders who have different requirements, different needs, and the impact of your work is you can see that immediately. You have immediate feedback and constant feedback on what you're doing, which I think makes the job very varied and also very interesting. So you will always have to deal with people mostly less technical than yourself, right, as a quant, and that often poses a challenge. You have to be able to obviously explain what you do, make it accessible to people at all different levels, right? You might be talking to a trader who will be very technical and interested in a lot of detail. You might be talking to sort of a senior manager who need very high level picture and really focus on what the key areas and why this matters. So you have to be able to communicate very different levels, something that's ultimately quite complex and technical. So that's definitely a key part of what we do.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Matthias, for your time. For CQF Institute members, Matthias gave industry talk, which is available at the CQF Institute website on capital valuation adjustments. Membership is free, so you've really got no excuse, and you can follow up in more depth some of the points that Matthias has touched on in today's chat right there.
Thank you for listening to QuantSpeak. Don't forget to subscribe and do sign up to the CQF Institute for more insights into quant finance.